Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What does the life of a Christian look like? Of a person who trusts God in all things. What does that life look like? It looks like a person who might not have the best life here and now, who probably isn't the richest, who probably doesn't have the most fame, but it is a person who is blessed nonetheless. You see, as a Christian, we don't look forward to this life. We're not in our faith so that we have blessings in this life. No, as a Christian, we devote ourselves to the things of God, for we look forward to the life that is to come. Yes, your life as a Christian will be filled with trials and tribulations. The Lord will give you crosses to bear, and yet He will be there to bear them with you. Being a Christian, being devoted to Jesus Christ, means that our life looks different. When these trials, when these crosses come to us, we will not weep and lament and complain only to our friends and neighbors. No, we will go before the Lord and cry out to Him, for He hears us. Paul Gerhardt wrote this, "Why should cross and trial grieve me? Christ is near with His cheer. Never will He leave me. Who can rob me of the heaven that God's Son for me won when His life was given?" The leper came before Jesus, worshiping Him, falling down in His presence and crying out, "Lord, if You will, make me clean." In our Old Testament lesson, Naaman goes before the prophet. He has gone all this way because a servant girl of his wife, said that there is a prophet that can bring him healing. And so he makes the trek out to Israel. And he goes to the house of the prophet. And the prophet then sends out word by Elisha. The words are proclaimed, "Go down to the Jordan and wash 7 times. And Naaman is irate. "That dirty, stinking water? I'm supposed to go and take a bath in that? Aren't the waters in my own homeland better than this water? This is ridiculous." And what does his servant tell him? "If he had said to do something great and magnificent, would you not have done it? Would you not have tried?" And so he submits to it. And he goes and he dips himself 7 times in the Jordan. And his skin is made clean. And he makes a proclamation. There is no other God than this God. The God of Elisha. Jesus is more than Elisha. He is more than a miracle worker. Yes, he can raise people from the dead like Elisha did. But he would raise himself from the dead. He would die on the cross and be raised for the salvation of all mankind, for sinners like you and like me. And so we have another man with leprosy. This time he comes to Jesus. "Lord, if You will, make me clean." His leprosy had ostracized him from the people that he loved. And Jesus does something that he had been craving. He reaches out his hand and he touches the man with leprosy. "I am willing. Be cleansed." So often we have been disconnected from one another. So often we have put stumbling blocks in the way of one another. We have had people for now almost 3 years separated from those that they love, craving physical touch because God has made us a physical people. This man needed to have a hand laid on him. He needed the Lord to proclaim this word to him. When you come to church in your brokenness, when I approach this chancel in my own sinfulness, in my own brokenness, and I cry out to God that He can forgive me, He hears my cry, and He hears yours too. When I go to my own father confessor and confess that which I have done, and he lays his hand on my shoulder, and he says, I forgive you of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I need that. I need him to proclaim to me that even though I am broken by my own sin, Jesus Christ has died for me, he has shed his blood for me, and I need to hear that he forgives me. And you need that too. You need to hear the word of our Lord that gives you what he proclaims. When you hear my voice, take it not as mine own, but take it as the Lord's, using me, proclaiming to you through me his own forgiveness. Not because I am sinless, because I am not, but because Christ is. Not because I will die for your sins, because I cannot, but because Christ has. Lord, thy will be done. And then we see another healing, this time a centurion. He comes out to Jesus and he tells him what is wrong. I have a servant and he is lying terribly in pain. He is diseased, he is tormented. Please heal him. And Jesus gives the offer. He says, I will come to your house and I will heal him. And the man recognizes that he is not worthy. And he says, Lord, I am not worthy for you even to come under my roof. Words that Christians throughout the world, throughout centuries, have prayed before receiving the body of Jesus under the roof of their mouth. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into the roof of my mouth. And yet you do. Out of your grace, out of your mercy, and you give me the forgiveness of sins. The man understands authority, for he himself is a man under authority and in authority. And he recognizes that Jesus can do all things. And he says, at your word, Lord. Simply say the word, and he will be healed. This man is a Gentile, and yet he knows the stories. He knows what the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has done. He knows that this is the God who, by his very word, created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. This is that God who has taken on human flesh for the sins of the whole world, for the Jew and for the Gentile. Lord, I am not worthy of these things, but say the word. The life of a Christian is a life of prayer, devoted to Jesus Christ. A life of hearing his word and proclaiming that word, of trusting in that word. As Christian parents, we love our children. And we're still trying to figure it all out, aren't we? It's often said that there is no manual handed to a mother or a father when their children are born. But that's not entirely true. It might not give us all the directions on every specific thing, but there is a manual. It's God's word. It tells us how we are to raise our children in fear and admonition, to raise them in the faith, to teach them how to trust their Lord and their Savior. When you give consideration to how much time, how much money, how much effort you spend in your life to give your children what you believe is their best life here and now, weigh that against how much time, how much money, how much effort you spend in giving them the most important thing that there ever is, Jesus. Yes, we devote hours, many days of the week, to bring our children to whatever practice for whatever sports they might like. We devote them to those things in the hopes that maybe they'll get a scholarship. Maybe they'll play for 2 or 3 or 4 years in college. And maybe, just maybe, they'll play in professional sports. We devote all of this time, all of this money, all of this energy for things that will pass away. Now, there's nothing wrong with the recreation that is sports. It is good to be physically fit, to exercise the temples that our Lord has given us. It is good to compete with a team, but not at the expense of faith. When we give consideration to all the hours that we spend devoted in work so that we might provide for our children, when we come home, for the very few hours that we get with our children each and every day, are we too tired? Are we too exhausted to then give them Jesus? Because if we are, then we have made an idol of the wonderful gift that is our vocations. It's a tough balance, and we each fail at it every single day. That's why Jesus died for us. He died for our mistakes. He died for our sins and our failures. Think about all the time that we devote. It should be Jesus. On Sunday mornings, we give up what? 2 hours a week? Maybe on Wednesday evenings, we devote another hour to worship. 3 hours in a week. But it should even be more than that. You should set apart every single day to spend time with your children and your grandchildren. Because the amount of time that they'll play a sport, or the amount of time that they might go to college, or the amount of time that they might succeed in getting earthly wealth, pales in comparison to eternity. Devote yourselves to the things of the Lord, that when you see your child, you give them the very best that you possibly can. That you give them Jesus. Jesus sees the faith of this man, and he recognizes that there is no greater faith in anyone else in all of Israel. That this man simply trusts that our Lord's word will do exactly what it proclaims. We should trust that too. Yes, children start out small. They need their mothers and fathers for almost every single thing. And as they get older, they start to think they don't need them for anything. But then the time comes when they do recognize. I pray that that time isn't once mother or father have already passed on to be with Jesus, that they might recognize that Jesus is a part of you. Make that your number one priority. Let them see and hear the name of Jesus on your lips and in your actions, and not just in vain, not in misuse, not in vulgarity, but you may call upon the name of Jesus and teach your children to do the same. When you look in their faces, I hope you see a face that Jesus Christ died for, that he has washed in his own blood, that he desires an eternal communion with. In our gospel lesson, Jesus talks about the fact that many will come from east and west and recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which will have no end, many will come, but not all. The sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so that when you look at the face of your children, who might begrudgingly come with you to church on Sunday, that you would teach them just how important it is that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, when we gather with the saints here on earth and the saints who have gone before us, when we gather with the angels and the archangels, the King of all creation, that we are preparing for eternity. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is what is going to be on the face of all those who have rejected that gift of eternal life during their lives. I hope that when you look at the face of your children, your desire to see their faces beam in the light that is Jesus Christ, in his glory for eternity, takes so much a hold of you that you do not care about the cost or the time, or the energy, or the effort. And you do everything you can to give them Jesus. May it be so. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The church sings, "Now in Christ, death cannot slay me, though it might day and night trouble and dismay me. Christ has made my death a portal from the strife of this life to his joy immortal." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.